Amen. Thank the good Lord. Appreciate the good singing. Appreciate the good testimony. Amen. If He is good enough to save us, we ought to be good enough to thank Him. I believe I read over in there somewhere, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. Blessed be His good name. Good to see you tonight in the Lord's house. And I hope and pray that you've been praying for the service this night. We're glad to see some folk from the church with us tonight. Glad to have my family back with us tonight. But a good number of the folks from the church slipped over with us tonight. One of your young preachers from the church, Brother Howard Deeks. He does prison work, mission work. And see some of these other preachers slip in. Brother Jeff Cook drove all the way up from Gastonia to be here. One of our students over at West Lenore, Brother Keith Bowman, his family, one of our new students. He's with us tonight, and we're glad Jesse's right here on the front row tonight. Amen. Thank the good Lord. Amen. But we're glad that you're here with us together tonight. Have your Bibles. Hope and pray you have them. Take and turn with me tonight to the New Testament. I know we've been over in the Old Testament all week. Turn with me in your Bibles tonight over to John chapter 4. We won't look again tonight at another ancient well of living water. I tried to say some things that would get us to dig Monday night. I tried to say some things Tuesday night that would get us to draw. I tried to say some things last night that would get us to drink. I pray the Holy Ghost tonight would help us to say some things to get us to be. To be. To be. To be. Here in John chapter 4, we find another encounter of a thirsty soul encountering the living well of living waters. You know, I was thinking about it today again, that some of the most precious encounters with God throughout the Bible have taken place at a well somewhere. Oh, we looked at Isaac. We spent the last two nights looking at Hagar and those things she found there at that well. Abraham's servant, Eliezer, is going to find a bride for Isaac at a well. Jacob is going to find his wife at a well. Moses is going to find his wife at a well and get his path set at a well. Oh my. Again and again, wells throughout the Word of God have been far more than a dry hole in the ground. In fact, David one day was just sitting around thinking and wishing and happened to mention he'd like to have a drink from the well down at Bethlehem. And the next thing you know, David's men fought their way through and went to the well and drew from the well and brought back unto David a water from that precious, precious well. Oh my, it was so sacred to David, he couldn't drink it, but he poured it out as an offering unto the Lord God Almighty. Oh my, thank God tonight, throughout the Word of God, they are some ancient wells of living water that you and I can encounter of the Lord in. And I pray you and I would do so again this night. And here in John 4, just outside an out-of-the-way town, just outside the city limits sign of a little old town called Sychar, we find an ancient well that proves to be what I want to call a well of possession. A well of possession. I know it's a familiar story, but let's read a portion of it again that the Holy Ghost might breathe upon it and breathe upon us again this night. We'll begin here in verse 4. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then he cometh to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city, unto the city, to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest ask of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Oh my, thank God tonight. Thank God tonight there is a well that satisfies. Thank God tonight there is some living water that will quench the thirsty soul. There is a well and there is water tonight. And the Lord desires that you possess both. The Lord desires that you possess both. And I pray tonight from this passage, we might note some things of possession that you and I can find from the well of living water. But I'd first of all have you know with me here from John 4 what I want to call some diminishing possessions. Some diminishing possessions. I'll tell you, what little this woman had was running out. What little this woman had, had run out. The water that she had was now empty. It was now spent, just like Hagar's bottle that we looked at last night. It ran out and her water was depleted and her water was gone. Day in and day out, she had to make the trek outside of town, out of that out of the way well, to get water again and again and again. And the water that she'd get every day, it would get used up and depleted, or if it didn't get used up, if it didn't get depleted, it would become stagnant. It would become stale, and it wouldn't be fit. It wouldn't be fit to drink. It wouldn't be fit to do anything with. Her bucket kept turning up empty, despite her best efforts to fill it up. Despite her best effort to keep it filled up, it kept turning up empty. It kept diminishing. The possessions that she had continued to diminish. I'll tell you, she's like a lot of Baptists I know. She's like a lot of bucket Baptists I know. Oh my, what little they gather up? What little runoff they get? What little they get doesn't last long. And they come in the house of God instead of being full and overflowing like the well God intends them to be. They come in like an empty bucket wanting somebody else to pour into them. Oh my, my, my. And then what little they do have, most of it has become unfit for use. Then there's some folks that they're not bucket Baptists. I guess we could call them cistern Christians. Cistern Christians. Only taking in. only taking in and never able to give out and pour forth. You know, there's a mighty big difference between a bucket and a cistern and a well. Whatever is in a bucket will diminish. Whatever is held within a cistern will diminish. That's why you gotta always be filling up buckets. That's why you always gotta be filling up cisterns. Again, Jeremiah, we mentioned it the other night, the prophet said, my people have forsaken me, the fountain, the well of living waters, and they've hewed them out, broken cisterns that can do all, no, what? Can hold no water. Oh my tonight. Oh my, you see, a cistern has to be replenished. A bucket has to be refilled. But oh my, a well replenishes itself. A well flows and a well overflows. Oh my tonight. Thank God there's a well of possession. Thank God tonight that God just doesn't want you to dig some. God just doesn't want you to draw from some. God just doesn't want you to drink from some. He wants you to be one tonight. He wants you to be a well of living water. But too often we're like this woman. All we possess diminishes. All we possess disappears. Oh my, but the water, the living water that comes from God's well is ever a source of life, ever a source of refreshment. Oh my. Now I know a well. I know it is possible for a well to go dry. That only usually happens when the drought is severe, and it usually happens when the well is not deep enough. Brother Green and I last night after the service got to talking about surface water. Surface water. You can go down about 50, 60, 65 feet, I believe Brother Green said, and you'll get some water, you'll get surface water. That's water that's run off and collected and seeped down. I'll tell you, there's something better than water that is seeped down. There is a well that springs up. There is a well that comes up. And God desires that you possess tonight such a well. But many tonight are like this woman. All you have is some diminishing possessions. Thank God, God offers a possession that will replenish itself. God offers a well that never ever will run dry and never will have to be replenished, for it replenishes itself. But there is in this passage some diminishing possessions. Now I realize at the same time in life, you and I will get weary. I realize you can have a well and be a well, and you can get weary and you can get tired. I'll tell you, our Lord did. It encourages me in this chapter that our Lord got weary and He got tired and He got thirsty. But you know what He did? He went to the well. He went to the well. God help us tonight that when we're depleted and when we're diminished, that we'd go to the well of living water one more time. There is in this passage some diminishing possessions. But I find in this story in John 4 some deceptive possessions. Some deceptive possessions. Now, this woman's not the president of the Women's Aid Society. She's not the president of the Senior Ladies Sunday School Class. She's not the women's speaker down there at the WMU meeting or the woman's auxiliary, no. She's an outcast. That's why she's alone in the middle of the day at the well, trying to get water. Oh my. But I'd have you know with me tonight some deceptive possessions. You say, what do you mean by deceptive possessions, preacher? I'm convinced that this woman was deceived into believing that all there was empty buckets that couldn't hold enough water to live off of. I'm convinced that she was deceived into believing that all there was some broken cisterns that could offer maybe just a little bit of water, but the water would not last. She was deceived. She was under the influence of some deceptive possessions. So what do I mean, preacher? Well, don't you know some relationships had deceived her. Some relationships that look promising. Some relationships that look like they would be the very thing that would satisfy. Some relationships that would be that which would quench the thirst within her would be that which she longed for and that which she needed. Because we didn't read the verses down here. But when the Lord goes to questioning her, when the Lord goes to examining her like He did Hagar, and He said, go call your husband. And she said, I don't have a husband. On down here, you remember the Lord says, you've answered right, you've answered well. You've had five, the one you've got now is not your own, you've shacked up. Oh my, she had been deceived by some relationships. I mean, no doubt every time she swapped one off, she thought, well, this one's different. He's different. It's going to be different now. It's going to be different now. I'm going to have the home now I've always wanted. I'm going to have the marriage now I've always wanted. He's going to treat me like I ought to be treated. Everyone was no doubt different. But one after the other, after the other, after the other, left her empty and left her dry. She was deceived into thinking that through some relationships she could find meaning and happiness and peace and life. Oh my, she was deceived. Relationships had deceived her. Then I want you to know, religion had deceived her. Down here in verse 20, she says to the Lord, He's talking with her, she says, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. Hey, she's got some religious background to her here. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Now I want you to notice what she does not say in verse 20. She does not say, I worship in this mountain. She does not say, I worshipped in this mountain. But she says, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. You say Jerusalem is the place to worship. Why in the world does she say, our fathers? I believe I know why. I believe because she had tried it and quit. I believe because she had tried it and quit. She doesn't say, I worship here. She doesn't say, I worshiped here. But she said, our fathers worship in this mountain. And I know you Jews, you say something different. Oh my, you see, dead religion cannot satisfy. No. Dead religion. I don't care if every T is crossed and every I is dotted. If it doesn't have the breath of God upon it, it's nothing more than dead religion. And you won't know tonight why countless folks never, ever make their way down to the house of God. It's because they've been. You want to know why she wasn't still going? You listen to me. You want to know why she still wasn't going back to that mountain? Because she had been, and every time she went, instead of getting a drink of water, instead of having a well of living water to quench her thirst, all she found was a dead, dry hole.
Amen.
Yeah. We come in and start at 11 o'clock sharp, and end up at 12 o'clock dull, and wonder why the world doesn't seem to be interested. They've come, they've tried it, and they said, I'll go somewhere else to find a drink.
Yeah.
Oh man, I'll tell you tonight, our world doesn't need more steeples. Our world doesn't need more programs. Our world needs some wells of living water tonight that somebody can come in and drink from. Religion had deceived her. And she said, the heck with it all. It's nothing more than a dry hole. It's nothing more than a dry hole that will not satisfy. By the way, while I'm right there, I'll tell you, it is a satanic. You listen to me? I'm using the very words, bless God, I mean to use. It is a satanic deception that is taking over the church world tonight. That it's got the church to believing that we need to look like the world, act like the world, dress like the world, sound like the world, in order to entice the world to come down to the house of God. Why, my Lord, if they've run with the world all week long, why in the world they won't go somewhere on Sunday? That's going to be the same stinking mess that they've been in all week long. You say, well, preacher, we need to be seeker friendly. Who told you that? I believe the devil did. You know what? We need to be well friendly. We need to be water friendly. We need to be certain that, oh my, our wells are cleaned out and folks can come and folks can draw and get their thirst quenched. Oh my, this woman, like countless folks in Caldwell County, Burke County, was deceived into thinking, oh my, all religion's the same and it's nothing more than a dry hole. She had some deceptive possessions. Oh my. And you see, here's how. I didn't see this. I don't know how many times I preached out of John 4. I'm just slow, I guess. But we like the disciples. We so dumb. We are thinking he wants something that he's not even after. So what do you mean, preacher? Did you notice you got the right kind of Bible? It's in parentheses in verse 8. Yeah. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Now listen, he's thirsty. He doesn't say he's hungry.
Right.
He's asking a pagan gal for a drink of water.
Yeah.
He's thirsty.
Amen.
He wants water. He's desiring water. But they're saying, now, Lord, we're going to get some meat. Lord, we are going to get some meat. And after they get back down over here, where's it at? Down over, after they come back, after everything's taken place, and they come back, at verse 31, they say, Master, eat. We're back, Lord. Here now, eat, Lord. We got what you need, Lord. Eat. He says, bless God, I have meat that you don't even know anything about. Oh my! They thought, are you listening? They thought he was interested in one thing, but he was interested in another. Hey, he knew that gal needed some water. He was concerned that there be a well, living water. water. And while we're chasing after this and chasing after that, oh my, our wells have got stopped up. And folks come down the house of God and leave dry, dusty, and dead. Oh my, I'm saying we're finding this passage some deceptive possessions. Relationships had deceived her. And religion had deceived her. But hey, reason had deceived her. See, others can deceive you. But you can deceive yourself. And she was deceiving herself. Because look here, he says, give me a drink. And after she goes through that spiel about him being a Jew and him being a man and all that, she says, well now, sir, in verse 11, she looks him up and down and says, well, sir, you talking about this water? You talking about this living water? But I notice you ain't got a thing to draw with. And then she no doubt diverts her eyes away from Jesus and says, this well is deep. See, he's standing there talking to her about a well of living water. And she's trying to get it to compute through her little old brain. She says, number one, you ain't got nothing to drink. You talking about living water? She's saying, sir, this well right here is deep. This well right here is deep. And if this well is deep, the well you're talking about has to be deeper. The well you're describing to me, a well of living water that if I were to drink of, I'd never ever thirst again. She was saying in essence, if this well is deep, oh my, the well you're talking about has got to be far, far deeper. You know what she'd done decided? If there was such a thing as living water, it was out of her reach. It was beyond her. It was out of her reach. Some of you just like her tonight. You've chased relationships. And you've set your hope in relationships. And you've put your hope in this church, this denomination, or that domination, and every last time you come up dry, you come up empty, you come up parched, and oh my, you hear somebody talking about a well of living water, and you say, well, if it is so, it's far beyond me. It's beyond my reach. In fact, I believe no doubt she probably thought herself. She probably thought herself. I mean, she's brought up that he's a Jew. And she's brought up that he's a man. I believe she's probably standing there thinking, if you just knew how many men I'd been with, you wouldn't be caught out here in the middle of the day talking to me. If you just knew how deep in sin I was. If you just knew how screwed up, if you just knew how messed up my life was, you'd know there ain't any hope for me. I'll tell you now, hey, you better listen to me tonight. That countless people that are in that same shape, they are deceived, and some of them are sitting on Baptist pews Sunday after Sunday thinking, oh my, I wish I could get to the well. I wish I could have a drink. I wish I could enjoy the living waters of God. Oh my, but they're deceived. Oh my, by the devil and by themselves. Yeah. Oh my, in this passage, they are some deceptive possessions. But have you noticed? In grace, he confronts her emptiness. In grace, he confronts her diminishing supply. In grace, he confronts her deceptive possessions and her messed up relationships. In grace, he confronts her sin. Now, he doesn't condone her sin, and he doesn't condone her messed up life, but I want you to know, bless God, he doesn't condemn it either. That's probably why she left that mountain. That's probably why she left that mountain. Every time she went over that mountain, she was beat and made to feel like a dog.
Yeah.
Now, God does not condone sin. God does not tolerate. God does not condone sin. God doesn't wink at sin. No. God confronts it, but I'll tell you, until the day of judgment, He will welcome sinners in. You say, how do you know that, preacher? He said to her, go get your husband and come back. Well now, you know what He's saying? He's saying, go get him, bring him back. He can get in on the water too. Go get him, bring him back. He can get in on the well too. Go get him, bring him back. Oh my, here tonight. God not condone you sin. No. Oh no. If you live in and stay in it, one day He will condemn it. But on my tonight, He says, why don't you come to the well of living water? Why don't you forsake those diminishing possessions? Why don't you forsake those deceptive possessions that have you dry and have you empty? Oh my, He said, in grace come. He said, in grace come. Because I've got a possession. I've got a well. 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 So that leads me to say, in this story, there's not just diminishing possessions. And they're not just deceptive possessions. But hallelujah, this is an ancient well of living water. And they are some divine possessions. There are some divine possessions in this story. Oh my, and I remind you, we saw it. We said we saw it Tuesday night. He's waiting on Hagar. And he's waiting on this gal. Do you notice who arrived first?
Yeah.
You notice who arrived first?
Yeah.
You notice who brought up water first? You notice who brought up the well first? Oh, it's the good God of glory Himself. It's the good Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Oh, my wife, because there's some ancient wells of living water that you can draw from, that you can possess and enjoy. Oh, my, there He was waiting on her with a divine possession that, oh, my, would change her life. Like those diminishing buckets and cisterns she had drank from. Like those deceptive possessions that she'd been deceived by. Oh my, He was God Himself. He was God Himself saying, come and drink of me. Come and draw of me. Come and drink of me. For my divine possessions. You say, well, what's the difference in divine possessions and them diminishing kind? Them deceptive kind. Well, number one, divine possessions satisfy. Divine possessions satisfy. Unlike the water she'd been drinking, and unlike the life she'd been living, unlike some of the religion some of you've been trained, there is a well that satisfies. They are some divine possessions that satisfy. Now look here with me in verse 13, 14. There is a vast difference in the water and in the drinking that's referred to in verse 13 and the water and the drinking that is referred to in verse 14. Now I know in our beloved King James Version of the Bible, it looks the same. But it's not the same. Back up here in verse 13, standing at this well, standing right here at Jacob's well, he says, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst. But now he says almost the same thing down here in verse 14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give, there's the difference, shall never thirst. Now, I know that word drinketh in verse 13 and that word drinketh in verse 14 look the same, but they are not anywhere near the same. We're not going to go into ancient language course tonight, even though we're talking about ancient whales. But in verse 13, it is a present. It's present active. Right. Say, well, what does that mean, preacher? That means it refers to an action that must be repeated. An action that does have results, but they're temporary results. He says, you drink of this water, you're going to have to drink again and again. He said, you're going to have to let your bucket down again and again and again and again. But now down here in verse 14, it's aorist active. Now I know that doesn't sound really exciting, but let me tell you what. It means that ought to be really exciting to you.
Amen.
In verse 14, he says, but if you drink of this well, and you drink of the water I give you, oh my, he referred, that word drink there, he refers to an action that will repeat itself, that has lasting, ongoing, and ongoing, and ongoing, and ongoing results.
Amen.
Oh my, he said, you drink of this well, and you'll thirst again. You drink of this well, your bucket will turn up dry again. You drink of this well, or you'll be depleted again. But he says, if you'll drink of me, if you'll drink of the water I give, oh my, it will replenish itself again, and again and again and again and again.
Amen.
Oh my. I'm saying the divine possessions that the Lord offers, the divine possessions of this well, they satisfy.
Amen.
They satisfy completely.
Amen.
Completely.
Amen.
He said, one drink, and oh my, the supply will replenish itself again and again and again and again and again. Oh my. Divine possession satisfied. Divine possession satisfy completely.
Amen.
But look here. Divine possessions satisfy permanently. He says, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. It's a double negative. It's as if though he said, shall no, never, never thirst. No, no, never, no, never, no, never, no, never. Sounds pretty permanent to me. Sounds pretty lasting to me. Sounds pretty satisfying. Satisfying to me. Oh my, there she had with her bucket. Run down that well time after time after time. There she had with her life. Run after man after man after man after man. But oh my, now she stands before the well, the ancient well of living waters himself. And that which she can draw from him, that which she will possess from him, will satisfy not just that day, but every day thereafter. All my divine possessions satisfy. But hey, don't miss it. Divine possession spring. Divine possession satisfy, but divine possession spring. The water that I shall give him shall be in him. In him. A well of water springing up. Springing up. Springing up. Into everlasting life.
Amen.
That little word spring there is the literal word leap. In fact, that's how it's translated two other times in the book of Acts. Over here in Acts, Acts 4 is in Acts 3 here. My sweats are getting in my eyes. When Peter and John coming down and they come across that beggar that wants something. And Peter says, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have.
Yes.
Such as I have. Sounded like he must have possessed something.
Yeah,
sounded like he had a whale.
Yeah.
Sounded like, I mean, he didn't say, wait right here and I'm going to go back. No, he said, such as I have, I give unto thee. And he reached out and grabbed him by the hand. What does it say? Leaping up.
Amen.
Leaping up. He sprang to his feet and leaping and walking, he praised God. In Acts chapter 14, it's not Peter. In Acts chapter 14, it's Paul. And Paul reaches down and takes that lame man by the head. And it says one more time, leaping up, he found strength.
Amen.
That's the Word. That's the Word. That's the Word for spring back over here. Spring back over here in John 4. I'll tell you, divine possessions satisfy, and divine possessions spring. Now, I checked it today. Most commentators want to say that in her confusion, in her excitement, she just forgot all about her water pot. Well, they ain't a preacher tonight. I am. I don't believe that's what it was at all. I believe she is clear-headed and clear-thinking. I believe she said, bless God, I don't need that bucket anymore. I don't need a bucket anymore. I've got a well. I've got a well. I've got a well. I don't have to go somewhere to get water. I've got water inside. I'm talking about a well of possession. God can put something within inside of you that will satisfy and it will spring up and everlasting life. I wonder, you got a well inside of you? Do you possess a well? I didn't ask you what mountain you worshipped on. I didn't ask you what church you was a member of. Oh, no. No, I asked you, do you possess a well? I want to tell you, if you possess a well of living water, every now and then, bless God, it'll spring up. It'll spring up. You know what this old gal, you know what the Lord was referring to and what this old gal became? She became what they call today an artesian well. You know what an artesian well is? I can give you some of them big words that the encyclopedia tells you they are. But to put it in everyday terms so you and I can get a hold of it, an artesian well is a well that doesn't have to have a pump to get the water up. The internal force and the internal pressure, they got a big word about that long that means that. But here's what it means. The internal pressure and the internal force inside of that well brings that well to the surface, pushes that well to the surface. Nobody's got to pump that. Hey, glory to God, nobody's even got to draw it. All they got to do is drink. All they got to do is enjoy. I'm going to tell you tonight, if you've ever been saved, if there's a well inside of you, every now and then, it'll spring up and show itself. Do you have a well of possession tonight? Or are you an empty bucket? Or are you a broken cistern? Does every Sunday morning you come in here and the preacher's got to pump you up? Does the Sunday school superintendent got to try to pump you up when you go to class? Does Brother Bobby have to try to pump you up, get you up here in the choir to sing about the blood and sing about the songs of God? I'll tell you, if you've got to be pumped up, you better check up. You're living out of a bucket.
Man.
You're living out of a broken cistern that can hold no water. Oh my. She got to springing up. She got to springing forth. See, divine possession spring. Divine possession spring. She became a well herself. She possessed a well. She became a well. Say, you sure, preacher? Oh, yeah. Because listen to the Lord. Listen to the Lord about three chapters over. The Lord, what time is it here? The Lord in the last day, that great day of the feast, is reference of the Feast of the Tabernacles. For the first 7 days they lived in tents. And for the first 7 days, priests would go down there to the Pool of Siloam, with a big old pitcher, big old bucket, let's call it a bucket. And they'd bring it back and they'd pour it out in front of the people. And do that for the first 7 days. But on the eighth day, the last day of the feast, they didn't do that. They wasn't going and fetching water, pouring out any water on that eighth day is a solemn day. And that's the day the Lord stepped out in the middle. He stepped out in the middle of their diminished possessions. He stepped out in the middle of their emptiness. And oh, listen to what He says. Listen to what He says. He says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Oh my, He said, if you come to me and you drink of me, you come to me and the drink of my ancient well of living water, you'll bring forth a well. You'll become a well. He said, you believe on me. You believe on me. He said, you'll possess a well. I'm going to tell you tonight, there is an ancient well. There is an ancient well tonight of possession. And I tell you how forceful that flow is. I tell you how forceful that leap is, that flow is. It gets so strong at times that instead of looking like a well, it goes to looking like a river. Yeah. Instead of looking like a well, it goes to looking like a river. Yeah. Out of his belly, sounds again like possession. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I'm glad you've not sung it, Brother Bobby. And don't sing tomorrow night. But I swear I despise going somewhere and they sing that little song there. Sounds real religious. Here's my cup, Lord. Lord, fill it up, Lord. Or however it goes. I can't stand it so much, I don't even want to know the words of it. Like here I have, I've come in, Lord, I've got a little old cup. Bless God, throw your cup away. Bless God, throw your bucket away. Throw your cup away, throw your bucket away. Bless God, come to the well. Get in the well. Become a well and be a river. Be a river.
Amen.
Believe in water. There are times we must dig. There are times we must draw. There are times we must drink. But there are a lot of countless folks around us that are empty and deceived just like this old gal. And they don't need us to dig. They don't need us to draw. They don't need us to drink. They need us to be. They need us to be a well. They need us to be a well of living water. Or am I in John 4? There's a well of possession. So, well, preacher, that all sounds good, but you don't know who I am. You don't know what I've done. No, I don't. But I do know who this old gal was. I do know what she did. And Jesus just said, come.
Yes.
Jesus said, come and drink. Do you possess the ancient well of living water tonight? Are you a well of living water tonight? Heads bowed, eyes closed. We're standing. Let's stand together. Brother Bobby's coming to get ready. Oh my.